Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. I'm your host, Scott Wiley. The Wisdom Journey takes you through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 10-minute episodes over 3 years. This is episode 13, a lesson entitled The Global Flood. Today, Stephen is back in Genesis 6, where we'll see the extent of the global flood of Noah's day. Its destruction bears testimony to the extent of human sin, but the ark testifies to God's grace and mercy. Now, here's Stephen with today's lesson on the Wisdom Journey.
When we left Noah at the conclusion of our last session together, the ark was completed. The animals had arrived miraculously in pairs, male and female, walking up the gangplank into that massive three-story ark. If the arrival of all these animals didn't get the neighbor's attention, nothing will. The truth is, for 120 years as Noah built this ark, he's periodically pausing and preaching a message of warning about the coming judgment of water flooding the earth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 tells us that he did this, and crowds probably gathered in the early years, but eventually began to mock him. My guess is after 120 years, the world isn't showing up. They're ignoring him. And let me tell you, the only people who responded to his invitation to join him on the ark were his three sons, their wives, and his own wife. Not one other person believed the message he preached. Now, not many churches would invite Noah to preach evangelistic services today. I don't think the average church today would even want to hear a message of judgment and a call for repentance from sin anyway. But Noah was faithful, and that's all God requires of his messengers today, to stay the course and deliver the truth in love. Now, here in Genesis chapter 7, verses 2 and 3 inform us that clean animals were being gathered in larger groups of seven, presumably because they'll be used for food and then later for sacrifices. After all the animals have entered, along with Noah's family, moving all their suitcases into the ark, I imagine Noah pausing and turning to the crowd that had no doubt gathered at this very strange sight. I can hear him asking them one final time if anybody wants to join them and be saved from the coming judgment. According to Scripture, not one person ran up that gangplank to safety. I'm reading now at verse 7. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Down at verse 10. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. Now wait just a second. They get into the ark. God personally shuts the door of that ark. Verse 16. And then what happens? Nothing. For 7 days, not one drop of rain. Nothing but sunshine. You know, after about the fifth day, you know, of clear skies, I imagine the crowd outside starting to celebrate. There's no rain to be seen. Noah's out of his mind. I imagine by now the neighbors have started a volleyball tournament. They fired up the barbecue grills there under the shade of that ark. They're having a great time. God isn't going to judge anybody. You know, pass me some more potato salad. We're all going to be just fine. We don't know why God waited 7 days. We're never told that God explained the delay to Noah either, but I bet he was wondering. You know, God often doesn't explain his delays to you either, does he? Maybe this was God's way of showing his mercy, his long-suffering. But after the seventh day, this picnic is going to turn into panic. The Bible records in verses 11 and 12, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You know, where I live, if it rains hard for an hour, water fills the drainage ditches. If it rains hard for a day, streets start flooding. If it rains hard for 3 or 4 days, rivers start overflowing. Well, here it rains 40 days and 40 nights. And added to that, we're told that great underground reservoirs exploded like volcanic eruptions. And in less than 6 weeks, the earth's surface is covered with water. Now, the Bible says over in verse 17, the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. Verse 19 reads, the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 20, the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. Beloved, that's 25 feet higher than the mountaintops. Look at verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Let me give you the literal meaning of the Hebrew word for all. It means all. And in case you have any doubts, verse 23 says, God blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. God states here in the clearest way possible that this was a global flood. This wasn't a local flood. This wasn't a regional flood. This is a worldwide flood. In fact, we're told in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4 that the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Many people I talk to think the flood was a local flood, and you know, Noah got into a boat and floated around for a few weeks and then bumped into Mount Ararat. Well, Mount Ararat is 17,000 feet high. And God tells us here in verse 5 that it took several months for the flood water to run off before the tops of the mountains were seen. That's a lot of water running off. By the way, it forms the oceans and rivers and lakes, and it refills many of those underground reservoirs with water. Now, most people don't realize that Noah and his family are in this ark for slightly longer than 1 year. This wasn't a little weekend trip out in a sailboat. Finally, in chapter 8 and verse 6, we find out that Noah sends a raven. He can't find a place to land, and Noah sends out a dove here in verse 8, and the dove can't find a resting place. Why? Verse 9 tells us, the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. You can't say it any clearer. Noah waits another 7 days to send out that dove again. You know, it amazes me that Noah waits another 7 days to send out that dove. He's been on that ark for nearly a year. I'd have been sending out a dove every 30 minutes until I ran out of birds. For people to believe that this was not a global flood, simply have to ignore the record of Scripture. If the flood was local, the animals, along with a lot of people, could have simply migrated to higher ground. If the flood was regional, God's word becomes untrustworthy because he repeats that the waters covered the whole earth. And God's promise over in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, don't miss this, it becomes a lie. He tells Noah he will never again send this flood. Now, I don't know if you watch the news, but every year, regions of our world experience floods. So if God was promising that another local flood or a regional flood will never occur again, he breaks that promise over and over again every single year. Jesus is going to use this global flood as an illustration of future worldwide judgment. In Matthew 24 and verse 37, here's what the Lord says. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. What does that mean? That means the Lord's return isn't going to impact some small little region, but the entire world. The Apostle Peter said that the early world perished by water, but a future judgment of fire will fall on all who do not believe in Christ. My friend, the people of Noah's generation ignored the warning, and judgment came. I'm inviting you to believe God's warning of a future judgment. It's going to come. Ask the Lord right now, wherever you are, to save you from that final judgment of fire. If we can help you today, call us. Let us pray with you. Make sure you're safe from God's coming judgment. Well, until we meet again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. To learn more about our ministry or to support us with a gift, visit wisdomonline.org. The Wisdom Journey is first and foremost a video format lesson. To watch these lessons, subscribe to the Wisdom International channel on YouTube. Join us tomorrow as we continue on the Wisdom Journey.